parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
Anyway, David Carey joins us once again for our parenting slot. Good afternoon, David.
Hello, Sean.
First question is about an 8-year-old who has apparently an odd relationship with food. He eats well, has a good diet and is a healthy weight. The problem is he's always worried we will run out of food. When I go shopping, he would ask this definitely last us the week. I say yes, and if we run out, I can go to the shop. I've told him time and time again that he will always have enough to eat, yet he will make a little hamper for himself of the essentials every now and again to make sure he always has food ready to go. I even find him walking around with food in his pockets. Is this strange? Because I find it strange. He has never been starved, never gone without a meal to my knowledge, so I've no idea where the worry has come from. Have you any thoughts?
Well, I don't know if it's strange. However, if his pocket's full of mashed potatoes, that might be a little above and beyond. This is probably anxiety-driven more than anything else. I suggest you get him some nice books about cooking, meal preparation, and nutrition that are suitable for his reading level as an 8-year-old, and that you get him to help you with the meal planning and the supermarket lists. I think your interventions with him are largely very appropriate. I don't think you have to tell him if we run out, I can always get more, because that plants the idea that you might run out. Mm-hmm. So just tell him we have enough. But I'm going to make a guess that the more you involve him with preparing for the shopping, with looking at nutrition, with creating a healthy little hamper for himself, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, probably the healthiest diet all of us can be on is to eat 6 or 8 small, healthy, snack-like meals a day rather than to sit down to the big three, you know, a plate full of meat and 3 veg, et cetera. So there are healthy ways that this young fellow can manage his food intake, and I think if you involve him in the whole process, his anxiety will decrease, and you'll soon see that he'll be less obsessed about, are we going to run out, etc. So I don't think you have a big problem here. It just needs a little bit of management. All the good news is he's healthy, he's happy, and well-adjusted. So
yeah, you'd wonder where he came from, though.
That's for heaven's sakes, who knows? And, you know, this is where parents sometimes have to really observe themselves. Have you made a big deal out of running out of milk? You know, oh my God, we're out of milk again. Where does it go? Now I've got to go down to the shop. We've no milk. I can't make the pancakes this morning, or some such. You know, and these little things that just slip and we pay no attention to them, some children who are a bit anxious latch on to them.
But you can't be minding what you say every single syllable that comes out of your mouth.
You can't. No. So I say pretty much business as usual, but get him involved, particularly involved in the shopping and the shopping list, and get some books about meal planning. And I'm sure there's a lot of information out there about doing the weekly shopping and how to keep it manageable, cost-effective. And he's going to be your little helper in this. So you go to the supermarket and you say, now go get me the Flavin's oats, please, son. And I think they're in aisle 3. And he'll say, no, they're in aisle 6. And off he goes and fetches them for you. I think that's the answer.
Yeah. Okay.
Where did it come from? Who knows?
Yeah,
we get these questions, don't we?
Yeah.
With these odd obsessions that children sometimes have. And where does it come from? It just happens.
Yeah.
The less you play into it, the less likely it is to get cemented in their brain and snowball into something big and ungainly.
My 6-year-old daughter will not attend birthday parties on her own. Only if I go will she go, even though all her other school friends stay without their parents. We live in an estate, and while she will play outside sometimes, she will not go into any neighbour's house. This is fine, but when all the other kids go into another house, she gets upset, as if she's being excluded, but she's not. She's quite happy to have the whole neighbourhood into our house to play. Should I encourage her to go on her own and be more independent, or is she a bit young for that?
No, I don't think she's too young for that. If all her other playmates that are in and out of each other's houses are also 6 years of age, then encourage her to go on her own, but do not force. She mightn't be ready just yet.
Mm.
She is only six. Maybe she's one of those little fragile and somewhat delicate children who have some separation anxieties and need mom or dad with them all the time. That could be behind some of this. I'd kind of want to know how she manages getting off to school, separating from mom in those kind of circumstances, or if mom has to leave the home to do the shopping, for example. Is that upsetting her? So I don't know if this is separation anxiety or shyness.
Yeah.
And she'll probably overcome this. I think here again, the message is, well, all the other children are over at Sean's house, and they're having loads of fun. If you want to go, I'll bring you to the door, give you a little kiss, and in you go. Sean's mommy will greet you there and make sure that you're happy and you know everybody else. See how that kind of thing works.
Yeah, but it might take a while, I imagine, that kind
of a
process.
Progress in these sorts of scenarios is often slow,
mm-hmm.
but it's well worth trying.
My seven-year-old daughter is really attached to our cat, Julian. She always talks about him, tells all her friends about him when he gets up and insists he sleeps in her room at night. That's all fine and very sweet to see her care for something so much. The problem is the anxiety she feels when she's away from him at school or when we're out for the day. I tell her that he can fend for himself and that he loves his own company and not to worry, but it doesn't help her. Her first question when we pick her up is, how is Julian? Is he okay? Does he miss her? I'm concerned she's a bit too obsessed with him. Should I be worried?
This is the third question in a row.
That's an anxiety-based question.
It's another anxiety-based question, yeah. Number one, get a picture on the phone of the cat who's named Julian and make sure she can look at it.
You do think of a very louche cat if he's called Julian.
I think smoking
a cigarette on one of them holders.
When no one's
around.
Holder.
Yeah, a very long holder, and he wears a little cravat.
Audrey Hepburn-ish cat. Well, I was thinking, I don't know, is it a he or a she?
It's a he.
It's a he.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't matter either.
Yeah, that's true.
A video on your phone of Julian. I think, now you've got a seven-year-old, let's get a book. I'm very much in favor of bibliotherapy, by the way, because there's a lot of good books written about animals. Among them would be books at the seven-year-old readability level and aimed for children about cats. And what do kitty cats do? They are relatively solitary creatures much of the time. They nap a lot. They sleep a huge amount of time, and they need that. And that's part of their wellness and their comfort. It's lovely that she's able to look after Julian, care for Julian. Those are very good traits. If things don't get better, you might want to talk to teacher in September and see if teacher can organize a little mini project about caring for pets and animals. I bet she'd throw herself into that. And maybe start getting some photos on her own of little Julian and whatnot. Parents get very upset about these kinds of things and magnify what is probably just a quirk in personality into becoming, oh my God, there's a problem here. Is there something wrong with my child? I don't think there's anything wrong with any of the three young children we've spoken about today. They have their little quirky personalities. We have to try to work around it and with it. I think, number one, since she's unnerved when being away from Julian, have a photo of Julian that she can carry with her.
Mm.
A video on your phone of Julian, not just doing stuff like playing with his catnip, but also sleeping and snoozing, which is something that cats do when they need.
Yeah.
They don't like to be played with and cuddled all the time.
Mm.
Any cat owner out there will tell you, if you know, your cat chooses when it wants to curl up on your lap. And if you pick the cat up and try to put it on your lap and
he or she isn't ready,
that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And this little girl needs to learn about that. That part of Julian's life cycle is that he needs time alone.
Yeah, and he's a cat. He doesn't care about you. but maybe that's a bit too harsh.
That
for a
might
child.
Be a little bit harsh at this stage. Obviously, you're not a cat person. No.
Megan says, this is going back to the child that's concerned about having enough food. Megan again makes exactly the same suggestion as David made about take him shopping. She says she can remember doing it when she was a kid and it was very exciting when they were allowed to choose cereals and the like. Dee Dee says my daughter did this, but she was pulling food together mainly for Dolly tea parties. Or at least that was the excuse, as she's ended up eating it herself, says Dee Dee. Someone wonders, has the child been learning about the Irish famine in school? And a fair few people, either on text or Twitter, said maybe he's seen one of those, you know, because there are these adverts on TV appealing for money about famines in other countries, with sometimes with often disturbing images.
Yes, very disturbing images. Yeah.
And maybe that's where it came from. And yeah, actually you'd wonder, because those things aren't on, you know, there is a watershed for a certain sorts of material on TV, but I don't think there is for those kind of adverts. And a child could just as easily have seen that on afternoon television.
Yeah, that's very
worrying.
Very true. There's a real problem with that sort of stuff. And sometimes it goes on in school, by the way, as part of the curriculum. I remember student teachers coming back to me and saying, oh, well, we had to do a project on the fact that young children in Kenya were making sandals out of old tires and cutting them up and whatnot. And, you know, it's sometimes that kind of appeal can be so one-sided and overbalanced in the most negative way that young children get all kinds of notions about people starving near to... Now, look, these things do happen in life, but not all of Africa is starving to death, and not all of Egypt, by the way, is pyramids. I remember years ago, we were hosting at the college teachers from Egypt coming over for 3 months to do some postgraduate training. And they were placed out in Irish schools. And it happened to be the time of the year when the Egyptian project was ongoing. And it was all pyramids, you know. They would come back to the college and say, don't you people realize we have washing machines too? There's more to Egypt than mummies and pyramids, you know. Why are you doing this? And it really opened my eyes at the time that sometimes all the things we're trying to do with such wonderful intentions are so lopsided that they give people erroneous images and messages. Now, I don't know if this 8-year-old fella has been unbalanced about food because he's watched shows about the poor starving children in Africa or not. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
Those things can upset some children, though.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We also got a text in from a Julian saying, I have a 7-year-old girl who obsesses about me and do enjoy our time together, but also enjoy my me time. How can I tell her to enjoy her me time, says Julian. Well, we already dealt with that question. Right, we've more questions to come, though. We have to take a commercial break. Back in a couple of minutes. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. David Carey still with us for our parenting slot. Somebody on Twitter says, Julian the cat sounds a bit like Henri, the existentialist cat. And then sent me I'll look at that later on. I'll enjoy that later on. There's some sort of YouTube thing about Henri the existentialist cat. Louise says, I parented a similar little girl to the one with Julian. She grew up to be a zoologist. So you never know. It might yield something more interesting in future years. My 10-year-old son broke his arm 3 months ago. He's healed and was told he's fighting fit again. But the problem is that it has really knocked his confidence. He broke it during a football match that got a bit rough. When the ball comes near him now, he pretty much avoids it. He used to run around the house jumping off the couch and all the rest. But instead, he now tells off his younger brother for doing it and tells him to be careful. I have told him about all the bones I've broken over the years, and I'm still holding up well, so he shouldn't be so worried. How can I help him get his confidence back? Says a frustrated daddy.
Well, I think number one, stop talking about all the bones you've broken over the years, because he doesn't need to hear that.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to hear that someone else out there has not only broken one bone, but all these bones over a long period of years. I suggest number one, that you do a very practical intervention. Talk to the football coaches. And alert them to the fact that now the boy he's been extremely upset, a bit traumatized by the fact that he got injured in a very rough soccer match, and he's hesitant and shy now about playing. And I have a lot of faith in the people, the adults that coach youth football in this country. There are excellent examples of sensible people, almost all. There are exceptions, of course. Who are very tuned in to young children. And I think that will go a long way. The fact that he's no longer running around the house and jumping off the couch is probably a good thing.
Yes.
Because that's a good way to break something else.
Mm.
He'll get out of this now. only 3 months. Let's give him time.
Yeah.
It does take time. The arm may still be a little bit tender for him, or under certain circumstances,
yeah,
it may seize up a little bit. I don't know. But I think in terms of getting it back on the pitch, talk to the coaches and let them deal with it. Stop talking about your own broken bones, and remind him that little brother's safe, and that the house is a safe place where mommy and daddy look after you and everything will be okay. And let's give him some time. Three months is not a long time.
Yeah, if he only broke it 3 months ago, now, that how long would he have been in plaster?
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been in plaster and in a lot of discomfort for at least 6 weeks, I would think.
Yeah.
Typically, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Depending on the nature of the break. Yeah. So it's really a bit early to start thinking this is a huge problem.
Yeah.
But don't talk about your own numerous broken bones.
Because we tend to look back on these things and go, ha, 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 and not think about perhaps how traumatic it was at the time.
It's very upsetting.
Though I can see the sadness of the daddy there, because you're at that age when you're just invulnerable and immortal, and you have none of those senses of your own fragility or your mortality. And I suppose as a parent, you look at that and go, well, enjoy that while it lasts, because certainly won't.
True. I wonder why Dad has so many broken bones over all these years, though. I'd like to know more about that.
Because dads just make stuff up. That's why.
Well,
they exaggerate their own mythic past. That's basically why I hurt his finger.
All happened during the Crimean War.
That's all it was, yes. It was when I was rescuing orphans from a burning building. You know, normal day for me. Could you give me some pointers on communicating with my 8-year-old daughter? She's very oppositional and will think of every excuse to not do what is required, like picking up after herself or having the patience to wait 1 minute. While I mostly remain calm, I do need to choose my battles with her. Now that the cycle of summer has begun, I find myself saying to her, when will you just do what you're told? I know this is unfair to her, and I wish I could find a middle ground with her. I do listen to her and spend plenty of time with her. I just wish I could help her to be more cooperative or less combative. Any advice would be helpful.
Choices are these long-term solution to this problem. Far too often we issue edicts to our children. Empty the dishwasher. Now, we would not treat our friends that way. We would say, Sean, could you please help me? I need a little help. Can you empty the dishwasher for me, please? So we use please and thank you with our adult friends, but not very often with our children.
Yeah.
It's orders. I want you to do this, and I want you to do it now.
And even at that, you often hear parents say please, and it's the snottiest please you've ever
absolutely.
Heard in your life.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And when will you do just what you are told? Well, the answer to that is probably never. And I think sometimes as adults, we have to ask ourselves a question. Do they really have to do everything we tell them to do? And why aren't we asking them politely to do some things? Choices are really helpful. Choices fall down this range. Would you like to brush your teeth, put your pajamas on, and then I'll read you a story in bed? Or would you like to put your pajamas on and brush your teeth, and then I'll read you a story in bed? Or would you like me to read you a story, then put your pajamas on, and then brush your teeth, etc.? Children who are prone to be oppositional respond better to choices than they do to orders. Also, children who are oppositional have their antennae up constantly. They are focused on our facial expressions of exasperation and annoyance or anger, our tone of voice, and they respond to it emotionally. The more emotional you get, the more exasperated, frustrated you get, the more you roll your eyes in disbelief. She is watching all the time, and the more emotionally aroused she will get. So you have parental emotional arousal and child emotional arousal, spirals. They have more time and more energy to be emotionally aroused than the adults. You're trying to get things done on time. We have to kind of look at our household schedule a little bit and see, well, am I expecting a little too much for her at this age? How can I manage some of these things? What is it she's not doing that you want her to do? We don't know that. There must be times when she's cooperative.
Yeah.
There has to be. And you may be overlooking them. So it's time to do some behavioral observation, find out what works, try some different techniques, Please remain calm to the best of your ability. Losing your temper as a parent is not the end of the world, but if it becomes habitual, it leads you down a very unfortunate road. And if you have a child who's quite oppositional, then you have to tee them up for what's coming next. You may need to prepare them for the fact that after dinner, we put our dishes in the sink or the dishwasher, and that's part of our routine. And we don't order her to do that. We model some of this ourselves and ask for help. Honey, can you bring me your cereal bowl, please? I need to put it in the dishwasher. And the next time it is, honey, help mommy or daddy. Put your cereal bowl in the dishwasher for me, huh, please? And see how it goes. Yeah. This is her disposition. It's her temperament. And you're not going to change that quickly or easily. It's a project over time. Like with children, it's always like watching your fingernails grow.
Yes.
It just takes time, but it does happen.
My 16-year-old has stopped washing himself. He really stinks, and this heat at the minute doesn't help. I have to have a huge argument with him to have a shower. I work late night, so I'm not constantly around, and in my absence, he has the same arguments with his father. In an effort to help him, I've been changing the bed more frequently. I wash his clothes after each use, but this cannot go on. He's old enough that he should care about his personal hygiene. I've told him his school will not stand for this. His friends will end up talking about him behind his back, and in future employers will not stand for this, but he just doesn't seem to care. How can I get through to him that showering is vital?
Well, you're appealing a lot to long-range thinking, which is not particularly sophisticated at the 16-year-old age.
Yeah.
So explain to him that his employer is going to take offense to his stench is probably kind of useless. Now, I don't know why the 6-year-old, he has stopped washing himself.
Yeah, that means he was before.
That means he was before. Mm. Now, there is a real correlation between depression at any age and personal hygiene.
Mm.
So it is not uncommon when people are experiencing even mild levels of clinical depression that they stop doing things like showering regularly, washing their hair, brushing their teeth, cutting and cleaning their fingernails. So I have a question mark in my mind. Since this boy was doing all of this stuff previously, and now he's stopped, I wish I knew more about what's happening in his life. And I think you might want to be mindful of that as parents, and maybe sit down and ask what's going on, rather than giving him lectures about the dangers of bodily stench now and in the future. And his friends won't stand for it. Well, I want you to ask yourself a question. Is he still socializing with his friends? Because if he is, that means they are standing for it.
Yeah.
So your warning shot across the bow may be rather useless, because his reality may be that they don't seem to mind. I had a friend whose 16-year-old son, although had a bad habit from age 13 of not showering, and finally the father got so exasperated, gave him a choice. Either you shower on your own, or I'm taking my clothes off and yours, and we're going in together. And that solved the problem.
Right. Okay, that's an extreme. Yeah.
Now, I don't know that you want to do that necessarily.
But there's probably a bit of a cliche around, you know, teenage boys at this age that, you know, they don't look after themselves. But nowadays they do.
Nowadays,
they're very aware of that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. And in fact, if anything, you have a house that reeks so much of Lynx.
Yes. That's overpowering.
Yeah, that's overpowering. I think there's questions here that need to be looked into.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about the fact that he was doing it and now has stopped. Over how long a period of time? What else is going on in his life? Is his sleep pattern disturbed in any way? Is his eating pattern disturbed in any way?
Mm.
Think about these things and observe. And if you're getting answers that yes, 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 there's a lot of areas of difficulty here, it could be depression and it may need some looking into.
Yeah. Finally, Evelyn on Twitter says, could David supply a middle-aged, recently retired partner slot? You'd be Snow Underwood listeners. It sounds like Evelyn needs to have a chat with someone, especially in her life. David Carey, always a pleasure, David.
Thanks
a million. We're going to take a break. After that, the world's greatest collector.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie